The following podcast contains strong language and is not suitable for young listeners or workplace environment.
You're listening to FatCast. We've upped our game. Up yours.
Hey, this is Engineer Al here again to do an intro bumper because, well, didn't get one from Matt. Not that he didn't try this time, but, well, more on that later. For now, here's Matt talking to Uwe Eichhardt from Academy Games at WBC 2014.
Oh, so let me ask you this. You got this. Did I mention this to you earlier? So this is the thing. We'll do the intro bumper later because I got ideas now. So this thing, it happened to me. Working the booth, and this thing it's one of these things that annoys the fuck out of me.
What's that?
Because, you know, like, I talk a lot of trash, I make a lot of stupid jokes, but I'm very, like, positive, very open-minded, very progressive, all these things, whatever, and, you know, one of my degrees is in women's studies, all this and that.
Really?
I fucking hate, yeah, it really is.
We all are in women's studies, so, well, big deal.
I make that joke a lot. But, no, seriously, it annoys the fuck out of me. All these motherfuckers come up to the table, you know, the booth and this and that, and I've seen this with a lot of publishers, whatever, and they ask for, you know, like, oh, like, what do you have that I could play with my girlfriend, or what do you have for, like, wife games? And it's like, and I get what they're coming from, but it's also like, you know, you're just coming up, what do you have for my ignorant sack of shit wife that can barely read a book? Like, you know, like, what are you asking for? She doesn't like games? That's fine. She doesn't like games. What is your dumbest game for this broad that can't figure out how to play tic-tac-toe? You have something for that? Like, that just, it just like,
now I'm
it
married.
Annoys me so much.
I'm married. Number one, that's like a, I got to make sure my wife doesn't listen to this, but you
Don't
never know. You
no,
know?
She won't. No one does. So.
Well, that's true. But, you know, I mean, that's, I can understand guys, because these are guys who, they don't have a boat usually. They don't go out to bars. They go out with their buddies and playing games, or they stay in the basement.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There isn't. And they want to share something with their wife, because their wife is always on them saying, oh, why the hell are you going with your guys? So I can see if they want to get
sentiment.
Yeah.
It just annoys the fuck out of me. Like I said, I didn't want to punch these guys. I'm just saying it annoys me because I'm just like,
yeah, but you know, when the sex gives
saying?
Out, you got to do something together.
Well, you do things that they want to, you both want to do.
Yeah, but they can do it. They got a battery. They go off on their own. They don't need you anymore.
What I mean is,
at least with the game, they need
a battery.
You
a battery. My ladies need a fucking jackhammer plugged into a wall to replace the. You know, they're done. They're ruined for battery powered activities. Please.
Damn,
please.
I'm impressed.
Please, my friend. It's not plugged in and dimming the lights. Are you familiar with Sawzalls?
Yeah, I love Sawzalls.
Yeah, so does every woman I've ever fucked.
Oh, man, you're that bad? They're trying to saw it off or what? You know, you better start locking your doors.
It ain't good if you got your legs when we're done.
Who is the guy who got his thing?
John whacked? Bobbitt?
John Bobbitt.
John Bobbitt. Deep
I thought
cuts
you
here.
Look a little familiar
Deep
here.
Deep cuts, literally and figuratively.
What was your name again?
But no, it just, I mean, because I feel like you as a publisher, you have a lot more accessible, I think, war games. You know, you like, I feel like you're in more like that war game space, but it's also in that crossover-y sort of like non, you know, con sim, like serious war gamers.
Yeah, we actually really go after that. I mean, our first initial games, which were all like military training,
but it's such an accessible system.
Yeah, but women, 5% of the women, we keep track of this.
Bitches
we're
don't
right
like tanks. They want pandas. And
no, they don't mind it as long as they get to shoot them, you know. And, you know, usually the guys say, no, honey, you know, just. But we had in our competition, we had, I think, a 17 or 18-year-old girl just kick ass, made it to the finals and almost won it.
That's awesome.
So it is very accessible. But we have other games that we specifically are really targeting for really the women market, and for two reasons. Number one, so the guy can get
like,
their
you know,
wives.
Sewing circle and cook, clean, and sandwich.
Well, yeah, as long as it's done in Stalingrad, they can do whatever they want, you know. But, you know, we're trying, like, with our 1775, which is, it's not a war game. We don't classify that as a war game. It is a cooperative game. We're trying to cooperatively kill the other guys.
Yeah,
so
nice.
It's a cooperative area control game.
Yeah, yeah.
It has nothing to do with war. It's just, you know, it's only Canada. Or, you know.
No, you got to take, like, South Carolina and shit. That big mistake, by the way, for all you strategists out there. Don't get real drunk and think, you know what, actually, Britain is not giving up the South. Fuck you guys. That's a losing battle.
Yeah, well, you know, it's... guys get off on, you know, there's nothing better than kicking British out. You know, I mean, I like British people.
I want to bring more. I want Andy. Andy already left.
Oh,
I'm so disappointed.
He is gone. You're right. Well, they do go to bed early.
English Andy. No, he's gone, gone.
Oh, he's gone,
done. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay. But, you know, women, and then we have another game like FIFA, France 1429.
Yeah, yeah.
Just hit Kickstarter. Did really
great. I'm not familiar with that.
France 1429 is was on Kickstarter. We were going for 20,000.
I mean, I just mean like the game. You know, like,
oh, okay.
I don't really know.
Well, what it is, it's a game where you are head of a French medieval family with all the French family members, and you're trying to take over territory to get royal crowns and everything, or trying to become bishops and cardinals so that you can take money away from other people in the name of the church, which is a great thing to do. And then you marry your people off to other players' people, and you become allied.
Nice,
because
nice.
You need 3 points to win alone.
Actually,
and
I really
four,
like that.
Yeah, allied.
Kind of, no, I mean, I like that. So it's almost like a Dune thing.
Yeah, exactly. And you ally, and as an ally, you only need 4 victory points instead of 3.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really easy as an alliance, but you can never win alone unless your partner
really good. Yeah, yeah.
dies.
Oh, nice.
So this game is a total paranoid game that as you're winning as a team, all of a sudden everybody's talking to everybody's ears. They're going to whack
tomorrow.
You.
We're trading something tomorrow.
There you go.
I want that.
Oh,
I really want that.
Well, it's still on pre-order, and we're going to be shipping 2 months. So, yeah, I'll get you one.
We'll figure it out.
See,
we'll
I can say you get it now, and I'll forget it next
yeah,
week.
Don't worry.
Fuck you.
That's fine. I'll just forget to mark down that I took that one. From
you know, I'll give you a fee for that shirt. I do like that
really?
Shirt.
The shirt's awesome, actually.
That is awesome. Yeah, I mean,
I feel like emotionally attached to this shirt at this
point. It is. I mean, you know.
I got this at New York Comic Con 3 years ago because I ran out of clean shirts.
Harley Quinn.
And I needed a shirt to go out in Saturday night.
Yeah.
I ran out of shirts.
Nice.
So I went and I bought a shirt from one of those giant cubes. You ever been in New York Comic Con? You
know, no, never been there.
Giant fucking cube. You know, like the shirt. Uh-huh. They do them at Gen Con, too.
Yeah, yeah.
They have, like, the shirt cube.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
like, you know, 18 feet tall. Somebody comes out with a pole. And, yeah.
They're only, like, $2 in New York, though, aren't they?
It was not expensive.
Yeah.
It was con priced, but sure. It was, like, they're still only, like, $15 or something.
Yeah, I mean, I got the Star Wars shirts real cheap in New York, you know. So.
That's great. That's great.
R3-D2 shirts cheap as hell.
So, I used to sell bootleg Boston Sucks shirts outside Yankee Stadium.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You used to live in New York? Or?
Well, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and I screen shirts is one of the things I do, you know, on the side.
Really?
I run a screen printing thing. And so I used to, you know, go hustle Boston Sucks shirts.
Really? Yeah, I thought, though, New Yorkers were more outgoing and aggressive. You are so reserved. And
I'm very calm.
Yeah,
very calm
and nice. I mean.
Well, I grew up in Connecticut, so.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
I grew up just across, you know, like.
Okay, yeah.
We kind of like, it's weird, we have a weird identity crisis because we're not really Connecticut, but we're not really New York. You know, like, everyone in New York is like, we're not fucking New York.
Yeah.
I've never claimed New York, you know. I mean, I lived in New York, older. But
and your mother was like a nun at the local
Catholic school. Actually, they're all very New York. I'm the first generation not born in New York since they came over on the boats, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those families, you know.
Oh, we're the most classic immigrant story. It's wonderful, right? So, actually, someone with an ethnic name, you might appreciate this.
What do you mean?
You know, your first name. It's not the most, you're not like fucking Pete.
There are more Uvas in the game industry than.
In the game industry,
than
yeah.
Johns.
That's true, it's true. But, you know, like 1905 or whatever, I forget exactly what year. Very early 1900s, great grandfather comes over from Greece.
From Greece.
And they're like, sir, you get through the books, what is your name, sir? Haji Papa Nicolau. What is your American name, sir? Loader.
They changed it
made that
bad?
Shit up on the spot.
No way.
Made that shit up right on the spot.
Your grandfather did? Or
great-grandfather.
Or the immigration
people? He did.
We're
him and his crew. I don't know. He's with people. The story goes because Loteris is like a scribe. He knew how to read and write. So, you know, there's like a little bit to it. But but it was still just like, how's your Papa Nicolau?
So the name Loder means what?
Well, it's sort of a takeoff on the Greek word for scribe. Reading right. Although Loder, I've come to find out, is a German name, actually. They're German Loders.
Yeah.
But they just made that shit up.
Wow.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's terrible, but I also, there's something just very interesting about a period of time where you come to the country and it's just like, oh, actually, like, you know, Uwe? Yeah, actually, sir.
Yeah.
Here's what it's going to be now.
You know, it's interesting
Jim.
Because Motor is a really old German name, and that your grandfather took it. In Middle Ancient Germany, the word loader, do you know what it means?
No, I don't, actually.
Loader,
not
in the
German.
old monastery areas, the monks,
yeah.
They weren't allowed to have wives or anything. So they had these prostitution houses. For real now.
I really hope you're trying
to give some education. Eddie's, you know. So anyway, when the monks, when they went to these prostitution houses, it became a big thing about these prostitutions, but they kept it only for the monks and the religious people. So they had to have a bouncer in the front of these doors to keep people out. And when the monks came, they were drinking everything, and then these bouncers had to take them. They had to load them into the wheelbarrows, bring them back to the monastery, and that's why they're called loaders.
I really hope that's
true.
That's bullshit. I feel like that's bullshit, but I want it to be true.
Wait a minute. If you knew me better, you know I never lie.
I want it to be true.
It's 100% true.
I want it to be so true. Well, it's actually name change long. You know, dad took off when I was a kid. I'm a Hogeman. Is my
a what?
Hogeman. So
Hogeman.
I'm German and Greek. So.
Yeah, that's even better story.
Yeah,
that
name. I don't. Yeah. Well, you know, he was holding a man, which I'm disappointed. More people didn't make fun of me when I was a little kid for that. I feel like they really dropped the ball in their cleverness.
Yeah.
You know, like hold a man. Like nobody did that, and I was like, I thought of it.
You know what? In college. True story. I can't really give his real name. First name, Van. Van, if you're listening to this, you know who you are. But in college,
Don't worry.
But we had a really nice place. Really nice apartment. And, well, not nice, but it's all we could afford. It was on a third floor.
Nice.
It had some tennis courts and all that.
That's pretty fucking nicer than where I live.
Yeah. And we fought martial arts and everything. So
really?
It was the only thing we did.
What did you do?
I did, well, in when
yeah,
I
well,
grew up
finish
in,
your story.
Okay.
Finish your story.
Anyway, so we were sitting there, and the only place we could afford had a kitchen, a small living room, and one bedroom. So we had a big king-size bed. And for 2 years, we lived together, sleeping in this king-size bed. And people were like, how the hell can you sleep with another guy in a king-size bed? I'm like, it's a huge bed. Big deal. But the problem was, when we'd like bring a girl home.
Associate.
Well, when we bring a girl home.
A vaginal associate that you needed to have a meeting with.
Exactly. We'd have that little sign, don't go in the door. So one day I come home. The sign's on the door. Gosh darn it. So I go in the living room next to the little coffee table, sleep, get the sleeping bag out, crash. Next morning, I get, like, kicked. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? I look up. The most ugly woman I've ever seen is standing there looking out at me, nudging me with her toe, saying, what the hell are you doing? I go, what do you mean? Why'd you leave the bed? I said, I didn't leave the bed. You were with my roommate. She says, don't give me that bullshit. I go, no, seriously, I have my roommate. You know, we sleep together in those beds. And one, she wouldn't believe it. She thought I was bullshitting her. We kind of looked the same anyway. And she would not leave because she thinks that I just screwed her and want to get her out.
Couch.
Well, my roommate woke up that morning and found out later, saw her, snuck out.
That is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's a good story.
I had to make her breakfast. I felt so bad. And then at the end, she says, well, here's my number. What do? You know, you got to take her car and go, yeah, goodbye. He came home. He's laughing his ass off. I tell you what, he had to pay me back a few times because that was the worst.
That's
poor girl.
Story. What fighting show were you into?
I was I grew up in Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Puerto Rico. So right away in second grade, we had to just start with Kung Fu. And then from Kung Fu, we went into a Taekwondo and then into a Shaolin. And then I got heavy into Muay Thai and things like that with psych stick fighting. Down.
That's actually something I did want to bring up or wanted to talk about because you'd mentioned earlier in passing, you know, like the educational bag,
yeah.
Whatever, Academy Games. So obviously, It was kind of like some acknowledgement of the educational value of gaming.
Correct.
You obviously primarily do or exclusively do historically based themes. Like, you haven't done anything that's like fucking wizards.
No, no. We started out with
whatever,
a conflict
right?
of heroes, which were combined arms, tactical, platoon company level training games for the Army Marine Corps. A lot of stations, and we're getting more and more. It's hard. The Marine Corps and the Army is exactly like the school systems. Mm-hmm. Fragmented left
so
and right.
So awful.
And, well, no, trying to get
and
into it. No, they're, don't kid yourself. If America's good at one thing, they're good at fighting.
Oh, no, I meant the public school thing.
Oh, well,
I used to be a teacher,
school.
Too.
Oh,
so.
There you go. And, you know, we have a lot of teachers who are using games to really bring them into the classroom and teach their kids above and beyond just this standard test that they need. But it's on their shoulders. So for us, a small new company trying to hit all these teachers was impossible. So we first went after the military, then did the computer games one.
So you guys actually sold a bunch of stuff, like with the you were like supplying.
We shipped to military people worldwide. We shipped to I can't say what special forces. I'll tell you later. I mean, for real.
No, that's awesome.
But South American ones, not Colombia. Don't get me in trouble here. You know, we came out doing Freedom of the Underground Railroad. With slavery, slave catchers, slave markets.
Which is a really under. I mean, there's no other games that really cover that sort of.
No. It was scary because, you know, when we start out, here you are. I'm a South American German coming out doing.
Dangerous game.
A game on slavery. And that's good because Germans never really had slavery.
Yeah.
So they were a pretty open country most of the time. Had some fall throughs a few years ago. Here and there. But, you know, overall, you know, it was pretty. Hey, Gunta. Okay, this is my son, Gunta.
Hello.
Say hi, Gunta.
Hello, everybody.
Nice to meet you.
He's my son.
How old are you, sir?
26.
Dope. Fucking A, then. You need a beer?
Hell yeah.
I run into trouble with these things. I'm real bad at telling people's ages, and all of a sudden I'm talking to like some 15-year-old.
I'm older than you, aren't I?
No, not at all. Really? Thanks.
Yeah. He's German citizen. Awesome. He can drink at 12 years of age.
I don't give a shit. When he's there with his father, that's fine.
Yeah. Anyway. But we started out with doing military games, and then we started getting into the historical games for the school market. For school market, homeschool market, things like that.
Yeah.
And we started with 1812 Invasion of Canada, Birth of America series, then 1775 Rebellion.
I went a little backwards in order, birthing. I feel like we kind of like got like the terrible twos before the...
Yeah, but you know, Americans like invading countries,
we
you know, and...
We really do.
Fighting our own country is it's
we
less...
We really like sticking it in. So...
But it's designed by Canadians, so they got to get a sense of, you know. But, you know, the games did really well. Now we're doing the French-Indian Wars, really trying to show from the native side. And I don't think
you've put out a game that I've heard people say sucks.
We've been lucky. You know, out of the 6 years we've been in business, we've won Historical Game of the Year 5 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, seriously.
Which is
like,
phenomenal, yeah.
But you guys actually, it's interesting because it's something I've been talking about a lot with, you know, other publishers, and that is... The sort of like, you know, what I view as sort of like the Days of Wonder model versus, I don't want to name anybody else because it's, you know, I don't know if I find it insulting to name it this way, but the more shotgun method.
Right.
You know, some publishers do very well with the more shotgun method. They you know, put out 20 games, two of them are amazing.
Right.
And then they put in a lot of, it's all right, it's a game, you know. And then a couple of real stinkers.
Right.
Then you have the sort of Days of Wonder model that I think they were sort of like the pioneers of, at least in my mind, of we're doing like one game this year.
Right.
But we're going to really, you know, dig deep. We're going to promote it. We're going to market it. You know, really focus on this one awesome game.
Right.
And I feel like you guys are also following that more like we're doing like we're really focused on this game.
Right.
And we're going to really crush it.
And Gunta and I, we talk about this a lot because we do historical games. So you can't just throw something together and it's fantasy. Yeah. I mean, this is history. You know, when we did the Soviet-Polish War of 1920, which most Americans don't know about, and was Historical Game of the Year in 2012, just went crazy all over Europe. And the book sales on the topic tripled on Amazon because of that game. It was great. But there, you know, we are trying to... We have to show a portion of history that I think is probably one of the most important military things that happened in the 20th century that most Americans and most Europeans forgot about. So our games have to take so much research, but then on top of that, to make them successful, we want to make it the best game ever. So on most games, we really spend 2 to 3 years in development time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Freedom of the Underground Railroad, when Brian Mayer came to us, this was 2.5, almost 3 years ago, with the game that was finished. We sat down, sat with him, tore it apart, built it up, dozen times. so that by the final time, when the playtesting, everybody's going, wow. It still had the same topping and everything, but the whole flavor and how it worked really had changed drastically. And that's where a guy like Brian Mayer, designers like that, are so incredible to work with. Because if you work with a designer, we've had other designers who are like, no, this is my game. It's staying that way. They don't...
Doesn't work.
It is. Because a game can't be your baby. A game has to be a passion for a topic. For us. Yep. Because it's all true. It's history.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why we can't put out dozens of games, because they're used in schools and universities and people all over the world. So, like, the Taliban game we're putting out on for Conflict of Heroes, which is really taking the Taliban viewpoint on the war on Afghanistan, we want our servicemen to play the Taliban trying to infiltrate and really beat American operations.
Yeah, yeah.
And at first, with the officers who were working on it, when we talked about that, say, why would we want to do that? Well, number one, we have to show, like, the Taliban in a very neutral light.
Right.
We have to tell why are they fighting? What do they really stand for? Because 99.9% of Americans listen to Fox News or ABC and all, and they get a bunch of bullshit that's propaganda, but nobody really tells the public, what do they stand for? They're not the devil.
Very few people,
in their minds.
Very few people want ongoing war and conflict in their home.
Exactly.
Like nobody's really into that.
Very few fighters think they're the bad guys. They think they're the good guys fighting for a cause. So why do they think they're the good guys?
Yeah, and that's what we have to bring across. If we can get across to our fans who play the games, the servicemen who are over there, that this is what they believe in. This is this tie-in of what makes them tick. If we can get them to understand it and they study it more and get more into it, then that's a first step. And the only step, really, for understanding freedom. Or understanding, and peace.
Peace, yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to go in my German-English get mixed up.
I mean, I also know, like, Übermensch, and I don't mean it, you know, I've had enough to drink that I'm going to talk actual, like, real serious, like,
yeah.
Sort of political. For me, like, I read a lot of, I'm a political science guy, so,
yeah.
So like, I Leviathan, like, really flipped my shit.
Yeah.
Because up until that point, I was very, like, you know, like, freedom more, you know, it's very kind of like, you know, like everything, you know, like smash the state, all this and that, and then it's like, you know, and then there's reality versus theory, you know, in theory,
yep.
It's like, yeah, like free, you know, like maximum freedom, but then you get into this idea, like, well, what is freedom?
Right.
Is if I give up my freedom to murder you, but you also give up your freedom to murder me, well, are we more free, actually, in sort of practice?
Yeah, murdering is not something you should have. That's
what I mean is this idea of giving up some elements of our, you know, because then it becomes a line of where, because ultimate freedom, you're actually less free because you have to worry about getting murdered and robbed and everything all the time.
Such as giving up our freedom to speed as fast as we want down the highway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, but we live in a society. Anytime we are a cultural, societal animal, and we like living with other people.
So we share, exactly. So
murdering other people is not an option. But if I want to go with you and do what you like to do so much with guys, who cares? We should be able to go and do it as long as you don't hurt my son by excluding him.
Well, unless he asks. I mean, or if he's asking for it.
Or if he's asking for it, right.
So, when it's his turn in the fucking cage,
yeah,
he's
going to
take his turn in the fucking cage.
Yes, right.
All right?
Those guys are looking at us. It's all...
That's all right. We've been... Listen, years back, we've been scolded probably 4 or 5 years running for various reasons.
I don't want to be scolded, though, because... But anyway, what I was saying, though, so if we understand what the Taliban stand for, that's number one. If we still can't come to peaceful solution, then by playing these games as a Taliban, knowing how to penetrate American defenses or even to disrupt American operations,
well, it's almost...
then you learn how you start thinking how they think, and then you subconsciously can build it into your subconscious, because 95% under stress of our decisions are subconscious. We'll save more of our own lives. So, number one, trying to teach what the Taliban and the Muslims stand for, number one, so there can be a peaceful solution. And if there can't, learn how they fight and think so you can beat them to then create a different type of peaceful solution.
It's almost like it's very similar to like white hat hackers.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right? So, you know, you have these guys that are like, well, I'm going to fucking break into your shit. because I'm going to figure it out. Like, how would I break into this?
Every white hat hacker has been a black hat hacker at some point of in his life.
Right.
Or else he can't be a white hat hacker.
Right.
Yeah, no, so it's the exact same thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Have you played any of the coin series stuff from GMT?
You know what? I don't play war games or anything like that.
I don't really either that much, but those actually those really interest me, and I love them a lot because they do that sort of, you know, like simulation.
Right.
You know, they take the war game thing and are like, well, you know, war is great. Like, dudes on the ground, like this guy fights this guy. Yeah, that's a thing. But really, you know, especially with a lot of these conflicts, you know, like Vietnam with the one that just came out, like it wasn't just dudes shooting each other. There was like this whole huge political what do you want kind of aspect. And, you know, what are the different sides declaring as victory?
Right.
You know, victory conditions are not, well, I killed all your dudes.
That's key, right?
It's what do you want? What is your victory condition? So I think they also do this very interesting, you know, they have their own unique approach mechanically to do that.
Incredible,
But it's just like I love that more and more, I think, designers and publishers and stuff are latching onto this, you know, in the consim sort of world of latching onto this. Well, there's like facets beyond, you don't exist in a vacuum of this guy shoots this guy.
And history repeats itself, you know? Like we're doing the next game after the Strike of the Eagle, the Polish-Soviet War, is a Korean War. It's all done. Phenomenal. And in this war, in this game, people are actually learning the political ramifications that was hindering America from doing what it wanted to do.
Right.
And what the Chinese were doing, all the options. Now, we're opening these options up so players can explore them. But history's happening over and over again. Iraq. We're going to be doing the 1920 English occupations in Iraq and all that. Guess what?
Wow.
It hasn't changed.
Yeah.
You read the journals, they're like copied now on a day-to-day basis.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You know, and it's incredible, and it just repeats itself. So if we cannot, and that's why we did Freedom the Underground Railroad, there's so much slavery still going on in the world now. There's more slavery
it's
now
insane.
Than there was 200 years
there's
ago.
There's more people that are slaves. Yeah, yeah, that's one
what
of those
the hell?
Great...
Even in America. I mean,
there's still a huge sex trade
in
Toledo where we're, like, near...
You know, don't give me that crap. You're going out on Friday night, like every Friday night, and don't give me this bullshit.
But no, but that is one of the... That's one of the craziest statistics I've ever heard. You know, like, you hear that. There's more slaves now than there ever were in the history of Earth.
What?
You know,
Yeah.
So we have a higher population, too.
We have a higher population.
Okay.
No, that's the thing. There's the population, it's relative to population, it's lower, but the population is so much higher, and there is still very much slavery going on. Looks like you hear those stories of, like, the dudes coming out of the fucking, you know, like, bayou in 1960, and he's like, you know, this 100-year-old man comes out of the bayou and is like, is slavery over? You know, like, like, literally, like, these dudes, they just didn't fucking tell him.
Yeah.
You know, like,
they're
just like... Well, you know what? They ain't gonna fucking find us, so you don't need to know, my friend. Like,
well, but the slave population number is a little bit heightened because they add all the bad marriages into it. So, I'm kidding, Kari. My wife, please don't get too mad at me.
Take my wife, please.
Please.
Hey.
Thank you. But, and now back to the show.
So we just here at the FatCast really want to thank Uwe Eichhardt for stopping by from Academy Games. We talked a whole lot of shit about all kinds of stuff. And I can say that I am more excited than ever about your stuff, even though I was already pretty excited about it.
I appreciate it. And since we're on the radio, I won't tell the people that I just never want to talk to you again. Because, I mean, I've never met a douche like you before. And I just want to get the hell out of there with my son so we can go have sex. You know,
you've been listening to FatCast. You can find us on the web at FortressAT.com.
That's great. That's great. That's going to be the intro. He's editing it for the intro.
Intro. There you go.
The intro bumper. Oh, speaking of, hold on. Be professional for a moment here. Serious business. So here we are with Uwe, whatever the fuck the rest of your name is, from Academy Games. And we're at WBC 2014. Is this year correct?
I think so. Yeah,
yep,
we've been.
Oh, well, that was perfect.
Do it over here.
I seriously can't say John's name.
Okay, and it's 2014.
I got that. I was right. I was right. I just wasn't sure that I was right. All right, so we're here with Uwe Eichhardt.
Yes.
Eichhardt?
You always forget Eckert. My name Eichert. The next day.
It's great.
I just pissed me off.
Listen, but you know what? I still make you breakfast.
You know, you do. And that's why I come back every night.
Still make breakfast.
So, screw you too.
It's good. From Academy Games, we're also here
We won't even go there.
Pisses me off. That dude is done.
Let's start this over again, and let's do the intro again. Hi, my name is Dom. I'm with North Star Games, and I'm really excited to be here with you guys. So
I can tell that you're very excited by the giant cock that you're waving around. Well,